Michigan energy policy will become a hotter topic in the final months of 2013. Officials have held a series of energy public forums around the state this year. They began back in February here in Lansing. This Friday, the Snyder administration will begin sharing the results with the public and the legislature. And the legislature is expected to spend a lot of next year addressing state energy policy. The governor has called for a statewide energy plan, and earlier this year he voiced support for an increase in the percentage of Michigan electricity generated by renewable resources. Our next guest will help us understand the upcoming Michigan energy debate and share his views while we're at it. James Clift is the policy director of the Michigan Environmental Council. Welcome back to Current State, James.
Good morning, Mark.
Good to see you. What topics dominate this discussion of a Michigan energy plan?
I think at the top of the agenda will be renewable energy and energy efficiency. You know, what can we do to transition ourselves away from some of the dirtier energy sources that we used to rely on to cleaner sources in the future? Again, address both the public health impacts of creating energy and looking at climate change and making sure we're doing our part to reduce the impact on the globe.
Has your organization paid attention to these public forums around the state, to what people have been saying?
We have. We attended virtually all of the hearings. We testified at a couple of the hearings. So we've been watching very closely the Snyder administration on this point.
And I take it the Michigan Environmental Council backs the idea of a more organized, more comprehensive state energy plan as such.
Continuing the transition we started to clean energy back in 2008 and building on our success.
And right now, one of the main parts of this framework is the 10% renewable energy level that the state's utilities, consumers, and DTE need to hit by 2015, correct?
Correct.
And in your group's view, that an awful lot of discussion stems around what should happen to that after 2015.
Correct.
A higher percentage is being kicked around. The governor explicitly supports an increase. Does MEC, and if so, how high should that renewable energy portfolio, arguably, how high should it go?
Yeah, we've been looking at it, and you look at our transition up to now, we've been adding about 1.5% a year. You know, we started at about 3 or 4%, and we're going to be up to 10% by 2015. So we're kind of on this track of slowly transitioning over to this renewable energy, and the success has been unqualified. We've seen the price come down more than 50% in just 5 years. We've seen $1.8 billion in investment in Michigan in renewable energy sources. So we're seeing both kind of a bump to our employment and our manufacturing base. At the same time, we're seeing reduced impacts on public health. And for us, it's more of that energy dollar that we spend staying in Michigan. Instead of buying imported coal from other states, we're driving this money back into Michigan companies and Michigan workers, which is really important for our future. We think that we can easily double that number. So I think, you know, continuing this transition at 1.5 to 2% a year for another 4 or 5 years would be a great next step for Michigan.
Given the current makeup of the legislature, James, we've got an election coming up, but this discussion, we're going to be well into this discussion by the time the election comes up. Given the current makeup of the legislature, how do you expect this to move forward? Do you expect there to be some kind of consensus emerging as to a significantly higher renewable energy portfolio?
We're hoping that the report coming out this week really will start to form the basis of that consensus. You know, what that report will be looking at is how much are we paying? How much has the price of renewable energy dropped? How many jobs have we created? And again, we think we're going to get good news on all fronts. So we think that's going to be really important to kind of get the legislature on board to continue this transition moving forward.
What did just individuals have to say when you attended these forums? What did just members of the public generally have to say? Was that enlightening for you at the forums that you attended?
Definitely. A vast majority of the comments were positive. These are people who were working, you know, in this field. Companies talking about success stories where they got into renewable energy and they've done very well at manufacturing, you know, parts for the maybe the renewable energy industry. But then they talked about how their experience has helped them in other Michigan industries. You think about a wind turbine being trying to make them very strong and light. So they're using all these advanced materials. All of a sudden they've come back and said, well, we're now using that technology, that innovation we learned in the auto sector to make autos lighter and stronger so that we increase their gas mileage. So really having a lot of spin-off benefits for Michigan.
An interesting dynamic is unfolding here as well, especially in the Midwest, because other states have a higher, some other states have a higher renewable energy portfolio than we do. I want to say, I just read that Iowa's is significantly higher. Could it be as high as 30 or 40%? Or
yeah, Iowa is already over 20%.
Okay.
You know, so you see a lot of the states around the Great Lake region at 25%, 20, 25%. With goals where they'll hit that number by maybe 2020 or, you know, 2018, 2020, 2025. So they've established long-term goals, which I think is really important. If you think of utility planning, they like to think long-term when they're making these very large expenditures. So if you give them a goal that's 5 or 10 years out, they can better kind of work that into their total business plan so that it's a nice smooth transition, no price spikes, and trying to keep kind of their customers happy and making sure this is a smooth transition.
We're talking about renewable energy and Michigan energy policy with James Clift, who's policy director of the Michigan Environmental Council. Is Michigan at a disadvantage because it trailed some number of states in the renewable energy portfolio? You're saying renewable energy is an economic boon to the state, economically, if not environmentally. Are we lagging other states, and is there a price to pay for that?
I think, you know, we're a little behind, you know, not too much, but I think if we come out with a strong statement in support of it in the next year and maybe double the standard or something like that, I think more of these renewable energy companies will look at Michigan as possibly a place to locate their company because they'll see that we have a long-term commitment. And this is really an industry that's growing globally. So not only would we be manufacturing parts for facilities in Michigan, but hopefully exporting them around the country and around the world.
Well, now, how do you look back on the ballot proposal vote last November, though, where Michigan voters had a chance to bump it up to 25% by 2025? That went down to defeat. How does that factor into this?
You know, I think if you looked at the polling that was after the vote, a lot of the kind of the polling they did, and a lot of people said they didn't like to see it in the Constitution. But a vast majority of them said they wanted to see the legislature address this issue. So I think the public is expecting the legislature to come back and address this issue and trying to do the phase two of Michigan's transition.
Legislatively, not constitutionally.
Correct.
That was what your takeaway from that. Let's talk about another big energy issue in Michigan and really all around the world, the natural gas. What's being called the natural gas energy revolution continues in the United States and all over the planet. Supplies of natural gas and oil have shot up. Prices have plunged. States like Pennsylvania and North Dakota are booming because of this. But hydraulic fracturing is at the heart of all this success. What's your organization's take on fracking here in September of 2013?
You know, I think if you look at the oil and gas industry over the last decades, it really has changed significantly in the last 5 to 10 years with this new high-volume hydraulic fracking. We have done hydraulic fracturing for a number of years, but the facilities have gotten bigger, and they've combined it with making their wells go first vertical, then horizontal through these shale reserves that are around the country, and that's really kind of what's new about it. But the risk has also exponentially increased. Where they used to use maybe 50 or 80,000 gallons of water in a fracking operation, we have wells in Michigan that have now used over 20 million gallons in one fracking operation. So the question is, has our regulations kept up with the changes in the industry? We don't think they have. We think we need to kind of revisit all of our regulation and make sure that they're commensurate with the risk that are posed by these new, larger operations. Now, we're doing better than many states around the country, but we think there's still place for improvement here.
Is this going to be a part of this energy plan discussion as well?
That doesn't really need to be. It's kind of two separate issues, kind of the exploration of natural gas, very important, where the energy discussion will focus more on what do we use to generate electricity in Michigan, how much, you know, through energy efficiency, how much can we save. The exploration of natural gas, where Michigan actually produces about 18% of the natural gas we use. So we still import the vast majority of natural gas we use, and everybody expects that that's going to continue to be the case. Now, how we explore for that natural gas and oil, you know, making sure that we protect our freshwater resources, critically important, but really two separate discussions going on at the legislature.
Are you willing to tell us which natural gas operation is used the 20 million gallons of water? Is that on the record?
That's public. The company's Encana. They've got some of the larger wells going up in northern Michigan. There's actually a website that the industry set up called Frack Focus, which talks a little bit about the amount of water and the amount of chemicals they're using in this operation. But again, that's voluntary. So some of the regulations that we're asking for is better regulation of where they get their water from, total disclosure of what chemicals they're using to the general public, and making sure when that production water comes back to the surface, that flowback water comes back, that we're disposing of it safely and making sure we're keeping it out of our rivers and streams and aquifers that we rely on for drinking water.
I see the Michigan Sierra Club is calling for a fracking moratorium. The state of New York just enacted a moratorium, as I understand. Do you agree with those moves?
Again, I mean, we focus on the regulation. Let's get the regulation better. Now, some of these other states, I think, their regulations were very substandard. So the moratorium was the exact right move to make. University of Michigan is currently doing a large study on fracking in Michigan, and that's going to provide us some more information next year. We think we know enough now that we should be improving our regulations.
And part of this narrative seems to be that because of Michigan's position as the Great Lakes state, with so much water surrounding it and so much water in the state, that we were more vigilant decades ago when it came to fracking. Do you agree with that interpretation?
Clearly, we are better than most states out there. When the water comes to the surface, we require that they put it in steel tanks, where some of the other states would allow them to put it in ponds, where the opportunity to leak is much greater.
Lansing's Board of Water and Light announced last week it'll begin selling wind-generated electricity next year, en route to its meeting Michigan's renewable energy standard. Is coming from a wind farm up in Gratiot County owned by the Exelon Corporation, a private corporation. Any particular comment on this development?
You know, we think that's a great development. You know, we think of the Lansing Board and Water and Light. They actually came out with their renewable energy standard before the state did. They were one of the first entities in the state to say, we're going to get, I think at the time it was 7% of our energy from renewable energy. And then the state came in and required that they go up to 10. I think now would be a great time for the Lansing Board and Water and Light to say, hey, we're going to be the first entity to promise to go beyond 10 and show that we're committed to this transition to cleaner energy.
Moving away from energy for just a minute, State Senator Rebecca Warren of Ann Arbor has introduced a bill that would expand Michigan's bottle bill to include so-called new age drinks, energy drinks, water, and the like. Are you behind this?
Totally supportive. Okay. You know, you look at our bottle bill, it's been a great success. We return more beverage containers than any other state in the country. But since we passed the bottle bill in 1976, we've had water, tea, juices coming in single-serving beverage containers. That now makes up almost 25% of the market that's not subject to our bottle bill, it would be great to bring those things in.
And I see Pergam is submitting thousands of signatures tomorrow at an event at the Capitol, which also they also support an expanded bottle bill. We want to thank our guest, our first guest on Monday here, James Clift, is Policy Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. Good conversation, James. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Mark.